Saturday, the 22nd of August, late August, has a particular quality to it. The sense of a season getting ready to turn without having turned yet, and this week's reading felt a little like that too. Saturday is the morning where 5 days of separate mornings finally settle into a shape, so I want to walk the whole week first, and then take you through four things that came in overnight. Let us get into it. It was a week in which almost none of the money and almost none of the difficulty was in the models themselves. Monday opened with two acquisitions that had nothing in common except their logic. SpaceX closed a $60 billion purchase of Cursor and folded it into its own compute fleet, and the first solid reporting landed that Stripe was closing in on OpenRouter for more than $7 billion. Neither company was buying a model. One was buying a coding surface and the graphics processors underneath it, and the other was buying the layer that decides which model a request goes to. The same morning brought the whipsaw over the Pentagon's posture toward Anthropic, with the National Security Agency continuing to test the Mythos family for offensive cyber work while the broader department position moved around it. Stanford's AVO2 wrote 16 working phage genomes, and the honest read on that one was that the novelty was smaller than the headline suggested. Tuesday sharpened the money picture, the OpenRouter number firmed up, and Anthropic disclosed annualized revenue, reaching $65 billion, having added $18 billion of that in 2 months. Set those two facts beside each other, and the routing purchase starts to look less like an aggregation play and more like a bet that somebody needs to sit between all that spending and all those models. Tuesday also gave us ClawGym 2, which does black box reinforcement learning straight through an opaque agent harness, and it gave the Pentagon ordering research security audits at 30 American academic institutions. Alpha Evolve and Modern Optimization pushed the matrix multiplication exponent below 2.371177, which is the kind of result that will matter in 10 years and in no press release this week. Wednesday was the heaviest day. OpenAI paused frontier reinforcement learning runs after preliminary evidence that an upcoming model might cross the critical cybersecurity threshold in its own preparedness framework. That is a company stopping a training run on the strength of a capability forecast, which has very little precedent. Anthropic published an August risk report the same week, disclosing two unreleased internal models and six safety process failures. Underneath both, Cerebras announced the CS4, tripling wafers per system and doubling clocks with a claim of 30 times graphics processor inference speed, capability going up on one axis, restraint arriving on the other, and the cost of the substrate falling out from under both. Thursday and Friday were about friction. Army Cyber Command disclosed Task Force Lexington with 17 agentic mission elements already sweeping defense networks. A new White House technology strategy reshaped the military artificial intelligence market around swarms and deployed inference. The Defense Innovation Unit launched a bridge program aimed squarely at clearance, classified space, and accreditation bottlenecks, which is to say, at the paperwork between a working demonstration and a fielded system. PLA Daily ran a piece insisting that commanders retain final authority, even as Beijing pushes machine assistance deeper into command, and NVIDIA paid roughly $6 billion to license Poolside's model development software and hire 109 of its people, which is the purest version of the week's theme. It bought the pipeline and the humans who can run it and left the weights on the table. Running quietly under all of that was a research thread about the scaffold rather than the model. The Red Queen Guttle machine on Monday, co-evolving agents with their own evaluators, ClawGym 2 on Tuesday, Spade on Thursday, letting one model write the environments it then learns in, Zeta the same day, evolving runtime critics during a rollout instead of reflecting afterward. Four separate papers, four separate categories, all circling the same question: how much of what we attribute to a model actually lives in the machinery wrapped around it? Now, with that arc in mind, here are the four pieces that came in overnight, and they pick up exactly those threads. Oh, leaking first up. Waymo has published its first substantive account of the computer that runs the car, and the centerpiece is a 5-nanometer chip that Waymo designed itself. This is not a general purpose accelerator. It is a front-end sensor processor. Specialized blocks pull structure out of raw LIDAR, radar, and camera streams, including temporal denoising that Waymo credits for low-light perception, and hand the result to a purpose-built inference engine running sensor fusion models that span sparse convolutions through dense transformers. Those custom chips alone contribute more than 1,000 trillion machine learning operations per second, dedicated purely to the front end. The post, by Vice President of Engineering Satish Jayachandran and the company's compute lead, is careful to argue that achieved performance in the low-batch regime, the car actually operates in, matters far more than a peak number, which is a sentence I wish more Silicon announcements contained. The architecture is machine learning primary and heterogeneous. The custom part carries the sensor front end, while conventional processors handle orchestration, data movement, and logging. Total onboard compute has scaled roughly 20-fold in 8 years. The system takes in 13 high-resolution cameras simultaneously, in real time, and it is built as two fully independent engines running parallel workloads, so either can take over if the other faults, because there is no human backup to fall through to. Physical constraints shape this as much as the mathematics does. The compute ties into the vehicle's liquid cooling loop and has to survive vibration, shock, and temperature extremes while running off the car's battery. Waymo names AMD, Micron, Nvidia, Samsung, SanDisk, Socionext, and TSMC as partners, and the design draws on more than 200 million fully autonomous miles. Semaphore picked the story up the same day and skipped the specifications entirely, treating it as a packaging problem. All of that has to fit in the trunk and run off the battery. They extend the point to humanoid robots, whose onboard compute will have to be considerably more compact while operating in stores, homes, and hospitals, environments arguably less predictable than a city street. What Waymo is really claiming here is that at this stage of autonomy, the binding constraint has moved off the perception models and onto the fixed power and thermal envelope those models run inside, and that the way to buy headroom is to co-design the accelerator with the sensor suite. That is the logic that produced the tensor processing unit, applied to a much harsher deployment envelope. Worth noting what is missing: no wattage, no cost, no die size, no unit volumes, so the efficiency claim cannot be checked from outside. Moving on to our second story, DeepSeek has released the 4 Flash Vision Experimental, a vision understanding model available now through the DeepSeek application programming interface. The company positions it as equivalent to the text-only V4 Flash on pure language, while improving sharply on visual agent benchmarks, a gap it describes as bringing multimodal agent capability close to Opus 4.8. The reported figures are terminal bench 2.1 at 83.9, deep SWE at 59.3, chartography at 64.3, and zero bench at 35 on pass at 5. Note the framing: this is not being sold as a general vision language model. Wait, it is being sold as the eyes for agents that drive screens and terminals. The documentation is where the engineering choices show, and one of them is genuinely consequential. Every image is resized before it is charged for. Anything below roughly 384 by 384 pixels gets scaled up. Anything larger gets scaled down, preserving aspect ratio toward roughly 800 by 800 total pixels. And the result is a hard ceiling of 384 tokens per image, which means a 2,000 pixel square screenshot and a 5,000 pixel square screenshot cost exactly the same. If you are building an agent that captures at native resolution and iterates dozens of times through a task, while flat per image pricing does not shave the cost curve, it changes its shape. Request level limits are 48 mebabytes of body, 600 images per request, and 8,000 pixels per side. Dropping to 4,000 once a request carries 15 or more images. It is worth being precise about what is and is not established. The comparison against a closed frontier model rests on DeepSeek's own evaluation harness, not an independent one. And the word experimental is in the model name for a reason. But the release drew 475 points and 149 comments on Hacker News, and reading that thread, the interest was not really in the benchmark deltas. It was in the token accounting. A perception layer that charges a flat rate regardless of resolution is a different economic object from one that charges by pixel, and people building agent loops noticed immediately. Third up, and this one I would ask you to sit with, NVIDIA published research arguing that for long horizon agentic tasks, the harness matters more than the model. By harness, they mean the software wrapper around a model, the tool definitions, the memory management, the retry and recovery rules, the supervisory scaffolding, using a custom harness called Agentic Variation Operators, tuned for memory handling and carrying a supervisor component. NVIDIA researchers took Claude Opus 5 from 30% to a full 100% on a benchmark called Arc AGI 3, which is built out of instruction-free two-dimensional games. Opus 5's unassisted 30% had been the best score any model had posted there. The supervisor is the interesting piece. Adel El-Halak, a vice president of product in NVIDIA's artificial intelligence unit, describes it as a chief executive-like component sitting above the main agent, whose job is to notice when the agent has stalled, is retreading ground it already covered, or is grinding on a dead end, and to push it out. That is a structural intervention, not a capability one. No weights changed. The model that scored 30% and the model that scored 100% are the same model. For calibration, OpenAI's models scored under 10% on the same benchmark, and OpenAI's own follow-up tripled its scores by adjusting two harness settings without approaching saturation. Databricks research published in July found that harness choice alone can double inference cost for the same model on the same task. Put those together, and a large fraction of the variance we habitually attribute to model quality is attributable instead to the scaffold, which happens to be the least standardized and least measured part of the entire stack. The obvious caveat is benchmark specificity. This particular benchmark rewards exactly the exploration and backtracking behavior a supervisor loop is designed to fix, so saturating it does not automatically transfer to software engineering or research agents. The durable claim is the one about attribution. If a supervisor loop and better memory handling can triple a frontier model's score on a benchmark designed to be hard for it, then every published model versus model comparison that holds the harness fixed at whatever the evaluator happened to write is measuring something narrower than it appears to be. And remember, that same morning brought a paper on hierarchical self-improvement that treats the harness as the thing that evolves while the model stays frozen. Two groups, opposite directions, same conclusion. And for our fourth and final story today, the week's largest number finally landed. Stripe has agreed to acquire OpenRouter, the model aggregator and router, for a reported $8 billion. OpenRouter raised at a $1.3 billion valuation only a few months ago. Reid Albergati's analysis for Semaphore argues that the price makes sense precisely because routing is heading toward commoditization rather than in spite of it. If model selection collapses into finding the cheapest option that clears a customer's quality, latency, and reliability bar, then the routing layer is not valuable as a margin business at all. It is valuable as a customer relationship, and specifically, as the one place in the stack where you can see every model call a company makes. That is a natural fit for a company that does not need to earn its return on the inference. Under Stripe, OpenRouter can stop optimizing margin per request, because Stripe monetizes everything around the request: billing, tax, fraud, settlement, treasury, and potentially financing. The framing both companies used, that they will help businesses manage both sides of profitability, points at the larger prize. Stripe already processes the revenue an AI product generates. Owning the routing layer would let it also see the inference cost that revenue was earned against, and therefore answer whether a given customer's usage is profitable at all. That is a materially different product from payment processing, and nobody else is positioned to build it. Structure, timing, and regulatory review are all undisclosed, and the reported figure varies by outlet. with TechCrunch putting it nearer 7 billion. The question I keep turning over is what happens to OpenRouter's neutrality, which is a large part of why developers route through it in the first place. A router owned by the company that also handles your payments and potentially how your credit line is a different proposition from an independent one, and the model providers on the far side of that pipe will have opinions. So what was this morning actually about? Four pieces, and in every one of them, the thing that mattered sat outside the model. The silicon underneath it, in a trunk, cooled by the car, the perception layer feeding it, priced flat per image so the agent loop can afford to look. The scaffold wrapped around it, worth 70 points of benchmark performance without touching a weight. And the routing layer in front of it, worth $8 billion, precisely, because it will soon be worth nothing on its own. The week said the same thing, more slowly. The money went to pipelines and people. The difficulty went to deployment. And the research went to the machinery, around the model, rather than the model. If you are only tracking capability curves, you are watching the part that is no longer moving fastest. There's a great deal more in the full digest, and I would point you especially at the Anthropic interpretability note that found the first measured interference weight inside a train transformer. I will see you Monday. Until then, look at what is holding the thing up.